Ho, ho, ho! Happy Kwanzaa, everyone. This is National Bugle Radio. And this is the... We're actually talking on the first day of Kwanzaa, which, for those of you not in the know, is December 26th to December 30th. But this will be broadcast on the second day of Kwanzaa. And I'm Patrick Slattery here with Mark Dankoff. Mark, happy Kwanzaa.
Hey, boy, I tell you, that great privilege to hear that. I was telling Andrew Carrington Hitchcock in the UK last night that I had messaged you in regard the need to remind Dr. David Duke and Rents Radio and all of our other PaleoCon friends around the globe that this is indeed Kwanzaa, and that as we wish everyone a happy Kwanzaa, hopefully that will get the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and Israeli intelligence off of our cases for at least, what is this, the 30th of December? They'll be after us in the new year. But we have a temporary truce achieved because we, in fact, have wished everyone a happy Kwanzaa. And in that spirit, before we discuss potentially some more significant news stories, I wanted to draw people's attention to one that I did post earlier at National Bugle Radio for our listeners to take a look at. This one comes from Sam Sokol at the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, and it's entitled, University of Massachusetts Student Asked to Remove F Nazi Sign Because It's Not Inclusionary. So this is a very interesting situation where this young lady, according to this article, discovered that there was a swastika that had been painted over this Hanukkah sign. And so she then posted one that said, F the Nazis. And the student government there and the student administration at UMass asked her to take that down because it's not inclusionary. So there you have it, folks. Figure this out. This is for real. Jewish Telegraphic Agency printed this rather circus-like situation, and it's up there. And it's good to read this during Kwanzaa and to meditate on it before you and I absolutely lose our minds. But there it is.
What do you think the odds that Jimmy the Greek would give you that it was actually that girl who had drawn the swastika in the first place?
Probably 2-1 in favor. But, it is a rather suspicious thing, isn't it, that this conveniently happens. And then, of course, she posts this obscene reference to the Nazis. And, of course, this then starts the very sort of media brouhaha when there is an official reaction to these various signs that make Jewish Telegraphic Agency and, of course, turns everyone into Nazis that doesn't like UMass and Jewish Telegraphic Agency and all of the usual suspects at the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith that tend to feed off of this sort of ridiculous situation. So there you have it, folks. And on Kwanzaa, don't accuse us of trying to shield you from occasional references to mainstream Jewish news media. And that's our one for this evening.
Okay, great. Now, the really the big story of the past 6 days is the Trump's, his relocating his mojo. And he announced a withdrawal from Syria rather suddenly. And Mattis then decided he was going to march down to the Oval Office and hand delivered this letter of resignation, which was rather insulting when you get down to it. And also included, and I'm going to stay around for another couple of months. You know, I don't share your policy views, and I'm going to stick around for a couple of months. That's rather odd.
And he is a military man talking to the commander-in-chief, folks, right?
Yeah. And you know, this was something I didn't know until reading Tucker Carlson's book. He was one of the people that that William Kristol had approached, you know, after having been turned down by Mitt Romney and Kasich to run against President Trump as the Never Trump Republican. Or Never Trump third party conservative, whatever. I didn't know that, but he was one of them. So, you know, It's very good riddance, and of course Trump came out and said, "Well, let's redo that resignation date, not the end of February. How about the end of this month?" Which, as far as I'm concerned, is a few days too many. And then the news keeps on going. He said he's going to pull out half the troops out of Afghanistan. I certainly hope so. I haven't seen any planes landing in America with these service members getting off. I don't know if that means that they're not getting off, or they're not. That's just not deemed newsworthy. And then the last thing I want to add, and this is, of course, you know, the kind of worry. Well, we were worried about another fake gas attack, but the Al Jazeera has reported about Israel having bombed Syria. Or, you know, they're and the to protect themselves, they're bombing Syria to protect themselves from Syrian anti-aircraft.
Yeah.
Okay. So think about that one. So apparently trying to provoke, and at great risk to commercial airliners, provokes some sort of crisis that will help the Zionist media in the United States push Donald Trump back into this war. I'm sure you've got all sorts of both analyses and new information about this.
Well, basically, it's more of the same. We did put up on National Bugle earlier this evening Philip Giraldi's latest piece for the UNS Review that Lou Rockwell reposts for us tonight. It's entitled Syria Withdrawal Enrages the Chicken Hawks, a Christmas present for the American and Syrian people. Now, I think the chief value of this in regard to Dr. Giraldi's article is he gives us an absolute listing with plenty of quotes and contextual quotations that enable us to see the extent to which the neocon Zionist media and their usual allies in the American government were all over Trump for basically doing the right thing, what he should have done up to now, or before now, in this entire Syria. And clearly, when we look at the policy in Syria itself, it is lost to Mattis, it is lost to Max Boot, it is lost to all of the other neocons that are cited in this article by Dr. Giraldi, that our policy in Syria, A, has nothing to do with true American national security. And secondly, Giraldi underscores once again that our policy in Syria is totally, if Congress did not authorize any of these American troops to be in Syria. Congress has been sitting by and allowing this paint-by-the-numbers foreign policy in regard to Syria, chiefly because, of course, Israel, secondarily Saudi, wanted this policy pursued in Syria. And Giraldi goes on to underscore that in addition to illegality, both Congress is concerned and also the UN Security Council, that the United States has been supporting these Sunni Wahhabic extremists in Syria that we claim we are fighting and that we claim we have to stay in Syria to finish off. Dr. Giraldi makes a compelling case for the fact that that ISIS would be taken care of quite nicely if the United States would simply end its illegal activities in that country and allow Syria to have a full-time opportunity to focus its energies along with the Russians in getting rid of ISIS once and for all, which would take probably another week and a half to wrap that up if the United States would simply get out. So when you look at the total article here, it's entitled A Syria Withdrawal Enrages the Chicken Hawks. Read through that because it's very, very important that we understand historically that the U.S. has been on the wrong side of this issue all along, that we have been involved illegally in Syria, with American troops and private contractors, not to mention the involvement of the United States Israel, Saudi, and Britain, and France, in working with these Sunni Wahhabic extremists by importing them into Syria, arm them and providing them with logistical support, and then proceeding to tear that country apart to the tune of the displacement of half the population of the country, which I think was originally, what, about 17 million, if I'm remembering this correctly, and then a half a million deaths. 500,000 deaths, it is believed, have transpired since this terrible thing began in earnest in 2011. Now, this gets back to our old friend General,
our old friend General whom?
Flynn.
Okay, Flynn, thank you.
Yeah, when General Flynn, of course, was the head of DIA, when a lot of the Defense Intelligence Agency, when a lot of this stuff was going on, it was made apparent by General Flynn that going all the way back to the Obama administration, that it was American policy to be doing what, in fact, we have been doing supposedly covertly in Syria, which General Flynn helped tear the mask out off of, I think as far back as 2012, by saying that the U.S. and Israel and Saudi were working with these Sunni Wahhabic extremists to attempt to destroy that country, to dismember it, to dethrone Bashar al-Assad, and basically to achieve what the Israelis wanted, and secondarily the Saudis wanted, means of establishing in the destruction of the so-called Shia Crescent in the Middle East, establishing another foothold in what would eventually be an attack on Iran. So when you read through Dr. Giraldi's piece tonight, it's an absolutely outstanding article. And one of the things he emphasizes here is the figure 4 million. 4 million deaths, 4 million Muslims have been killed of the wars since 2001, and millions more displaced. More than 8,000 U.S. military have died in the process in wars that had no purpose and no exit strategy, and the wars have been expensive, $6 trillion and counting, much of it borrowed. War without end means killing without end, and it has to stop. Mm-hmm.
And so, and you could also throw on there millions upon millions of asylum seekers to Europe, both actually from the war zone, and those just making it up, but still coming anyway.
Exactly, and then you count, as David Duke has, in making reference to this Pentagon figure one day, a month or two ago, talking about the fact that in terms of American casualties between deaths, wounded, and all of these psychiatric cases diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, true American casualty count with the meter still running is 1 million plus. So this is all sobering business that we're speaking of here. And again, when we get back to Israel, Giraldi makes tonight in this article, again, zeroes in on something we'll repeat here on National Bugle Radio for our Republic Broadcasting Network listeners, and it is as follows, quote, Israel is also turning up the heat on Trump, claiming that the move will make it more insecure, the move of the United States to get out of Syria. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to increase air attacks on Iranian targets in Syria as an added security measure to make up for the American betrayal. Normally liberal American Jews, says Dr. Giraldi, have joined the hue and cry against Trump on behalf of Israel. And here we are, folks. Listen to this. Filmmaker Rob Reiner. Sound familiar?
Yes. Meathead. Yes. Meathead.
On all of the family.
And
yes,
then, of course, the son of Carl Reiner, the
exactly
from the Dick Van Dyke Show. And one last thing, Rob Reiner also, who brags about having groped Mary Tyler Moore when she was an actress on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and he was a 13-year-old recently bar mitzvahed little perv, I guess you'd call him.
Yes, and he definitely is a Zionist perv, because he tweeted on Thursday that the president, meaning President Trump, is a, quote, childish, moronic, mentally unstable, malignant narcissist, unquote, who is, quote, committing treason, unquote, against the United States. Reiner, of course, along with all of these other liberal Jews, is describing himself, but nonetheless he projects that upon Donald Trump for indicating that we are going to get American troops out of Syria. Now, folks, this is nothing new for those of you who have been following this atrocious circus, especially since September the 11th. But once again, Philip Giraldi puts it all together with the latest media hysteria that surrounds Trump's surprise decision to do what he said he would do in 2016 during the campaign, and now to get back to that here several years later. So hopefully the president sticks to his guns. I will say one thing and make reference to one thing that is a source of concern for me tonight. RT, Russia Today, is running a story, which I also put up for us on National Bugle tonight, and it is as follows. In this RT piece, reference is made to Blackwater. Remember Blackwater, folks?
I want to say Freddie Prinze, but I guess his name's Eric Prinze.
Eric Prinze, right.
Freddie Prinze was the actor in, what was he in?
Freebie and the Bean?
Maybe. It was a TV show. Sanford and Son?
Yeah.
Wasn't he on Sanford and Son? The Puerto Rican guy?
Yeah, Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
And he sadly took his own life.
Oh, God.
But at any rate, the title of this article is We Are Coming, quote unquote. Chilling Blackwater ad triggers fears of Trump seeking to privatize Mideast wars. Now, according to this RT story, some concerns have been aroused by an ad in something called Recoil Magazine. Now, I'm something of a gun enthusiast. I'm not familiar with Recoil Magazine. Didn't look it up before we went into our session tonight. But nonetheless, Recoil Magazine has a full-page ad that basically is promoting the idea that Blackwater needs to re-engage in bringing a positive privatized force into play in these American involvements in the Middle East. Now, when we read through this, of course, RT reminds us that it was some Blackwater guards that murdered 14 Iraqi civilians in 2007 at the Nisour Square in Baghdad. Blackwater, of course, now known as Academy, spelled with an I at the end. And one of the things that was really interesting about this RT piece this evening is that an ex-Pentagon official, Michael Maloof, indicates that, in fact, in terms of Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, Maloof claims that private contractors outnumber American active-duty military personnel by a 3-to-1 ratio.
And this is in Iraq?
I think the article referenced Iraq, Saudi, and Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan.
Okay.
So,
I hope they're going to get pulled out of Syria as well. That's not necessarily a guarantee, is it?
No, it isn't. And that's why I mentioned it tonight when I was doing some research, a couple hours ago, just reading through a lot of different news stories from all of our usual sources. I came across this, and RT seemed to be suggesting the ominous possibility of a sleight of hand here, where American active duty military personnel would be progressively pulled out of Syria, which is a great thing, as Dr. Philip Giraldi underscores.
And then replaced by these people.
That would be a bad move if there's any truth to this rumor.
Well, we're coming up on our break, but we'll be back with more from Mark Dangler after the break.
Thank you. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bipartisan attitudes and policies toward Russia, which was largely based upon deterrence and this constant mutually assured destruction, and the idea that there were certain places where we would not touch Russian influence or Russian interests, I should say, and they in turn would respect ours and, in essence, stay out of our backyard as we stayed out of theirs. Now, what we are moving toward quite clearly now is a situation, as Paul Craig Roberts outlines it today at Lou Brockwell, that we are absolutely doomed if policies that are being pursued from the Clinton administration onward continue prevailing in terms of the American foreign policy establishment. Roberts mentions here, and I know that you in particular, Dr. Slattery, are a major fan of Stephen F. Cohen, which is entirely good. And Roberts tells us in this piece that throughout the Cold War, Stephen Cohen, who excuse me, was prof of and still is professor of Russian studies at Princeton and New York University, was and is a voice of reason. And I'm quoting Dr. Roberts here. Cohen refused to allow his patriotism to blind him to Washington's contribution to the conflict and to criticize only the Soviet contribution. Cohen's interest was not to blame the enemy, but to work toward a mutual understanding that would remove the threat of nuclear war. Although Democrat and left-leaning, Cohen would have been at home in the Reagan administration, says Paul Craig Roberts, as Reagan's first priority was to end the Cold War.
And I'm just going to add parenthetically, that was his first priority during his second term.
Yes. And Pat Buchanan, says Paul Craig Roberts, would tell us the same thing. And Roberts goes on to cite someone whose name is familiar to me, Albert Volst, who was a coal warrior.
Could you say that one more time, Albert?
Albert Volstetter, okay. Volstetter, who in 1974, according to Roberts, just absurdly accused the CIA of underestimating the Soviet threat. Now, as the CIA had every incentive, for reasons of budget and power, says Dr. Roberts, to overestimate the Soviet threat, and today the quote-unquote threat, Volstetter's accusation made no sense on its face. However, he succeeded, says Paul Craig Roberts, in stirring up enough concern that CIA Director George Herbert Walker Bush, later Vice President and President, agreed to a Team B to investigate the CIA's
plan
assessment.
B? Team B or Plan B?
Team B is the way that Roberts puts this.
Okay.
To investigate the CIA's assessment, headed by the Russell-Tolbeck Harvard prof Richard Pipes. Team
oh,
B.
God.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Pipes is, he's a...
Yeah, that tells you everything you need to know there. Team B concluded that the Soviets thought they could win a nuclear war and were building the forces with which to attack the U.S. The report was mainly nonsense, Dr. Roberts says, and it must have troubled Stephen Cohen to experience the setback to negotiations that Team B caused. Now, of course, go on and read through the rest of what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts tells us today. We are told that it is Stephen F. Cohen's position that it is now the United States that thinks it can win a nuclear war. Roberts goes on to support that with some specific quotes from some of these foreign policy establishment types whose names would be known to us in regard to such things as low-yield nuclear weapons and the way in which we have seen a complete and intentional foreclosure of any peace negotiations with Russia, along with this thing we've noted here from time to time on National Bugle Radio. And this is an unprecedented propaganda campaign, folks, against Russia. Demonization, vilification, transparent lies, using Paul Craig Roberts' words here, while installing missile bases on Russian borders and while talking of incorporating former parts of Russia into NATO. In his just published book, War with Russia, which Roberts highly recommends, Stephen F. Cohen makes a convincing case that Washington is asking for war. And again, as Roberts underscores here, during the Cold War, and Stephen F. Cohen is totally with Roberts on this, every U.S. president worked to diffuse tensions with Russia, especially Republican ones. Now, since the Clinton regime, every president of the United States has worked to create tensions.
Okay, and we're going to have to suspend this until the other side of the break.
Sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Paul Craig Roberts' review of Stephen F. Cohen's book, and noting that before, or I guess during the Cold War, U.S. presidents were mostly trying to work to diffuse tensions between the United States and Soviet Union. But since Clinton, they've been working to escalate tensions.
Yes, and just in maybe closing on a summation of this very fine article, Dr. Roberts underscores some of the reasons why and how this has happened. You have a military and security complex's resurrection of the enemy for political and budgetary reasons. We no longer have an independent media in this country. Dr. Roberts underscores that it was the Clinton regime that permitted, in violation of antitrust laws, 90% of the U.S. media to be concentrated in the hands of six mega corporations that were very friendly with American intelligence, and especially the Central Intelligence Agency, and that this demonization of Russia, as we know, is also aided and abetted by the Democrats' hatred of Trump and this obsession of these Hillary Clinton people that the loss of the presidential election to the Trump deplorables was the result of Russian intervention, for which there is absolutely no truth or no substantive proof whatsoever. And then as we watch this whole thing evolve, people like Stephen F. Cohen, Roberts also cites Reagan's ambassador to the Soviet Union, Jack Matloff, are among the remaining voices of what Roberts calls expert reason on this subject. Now, folks, I am not a Russia expert. I am certainly not an expert in issues of nuclear weaponry. But I do think that as I watch what has happened in the American news media and in the American national security establishment as our news media reports on it, it's quite obvious to me that Stephen F. Cohen is correct, Paul Craig Roberts is correct, and this gets back to some things that have transpired since the first Gulf War that John Basil Utley talks about tonight, that is chronicled for the American Conservative, and that's reposted at antiwar.com.
Okay. And right, just before we get to that, I just want to underscore that, you know, when we're talking about relations with Russia, relations with Syria are integral with that. The Syrian war is integral with that. Syria is one of three possible places where a hot war, a shooting war between Russia and the United States could start.
Exactly, where Israel is doing its best to exacerbate tensions there, perhaps with the hope that it will ignite, just like they attacked the USS Liberty in June of 1967, and an attempt is a means of drawing the United States into Israel's war.
We missed about a second of what you just said. After sure. Attacking the USS Liberty and attempting...
Yeah, in attempting to falsely blame Egypt for the attack on the USS Liberty to launch what was known as Operation Cyanide, which was to bring the United States into the Six-Day War overtly with military force on Israel's side. That was the plan, and it seems to me that now the plan is for Netanyahu to provoke something in Syria, which he's already done, that has cost Russian lives, but to keep up with this sort of thing until, in fact, there will be an incident that will create war hysteria among the people of the United States to go after them Ruskies. Folks, this is all being planned out. This is being gamed out. It's clear what the Bill Crystals of the world have planned, even as we thankfully finally managed to get the Weekly Standard, one of the biggest rag sheets of all time, shut down. But nonetheless, this is where John Basil Utley's piece comes in tonight, because the first Gulf War with George Herbert Walker Bush delineated something that is now ongoing. We have a major split in the American right in regard to these war policies, and these war policies on behalf of Israel, and these war policies on behalf of empire. And John Basil Utley was one of the people who was very pivotal in the beginning in trying to put together a libertarian paleocon coalition to oppose Mr. Bush's first Gulf War, with a full understanding that this would be just a beginning. And then, of course, here we are now, 26, going on 27 years later. And we understand the extent to which John Basil Utley and his colleagues were correct. And there were two or three men who were working with him at that time on that committee who are known to me, especially the late Joe Sobran, who was an informal political advisor to me when I was running for the U.S. Senate in 2000. But Utley goes on to contextualize all of the lies that were told in the run-up to the first Gulf War, even as he somewhat lets George Herbert Walker Bush off the hook a little bit in terms of perhaps holding out the possibility that Bush wasn't fully informed about what was really going on. I don't personally buy that. And if we have the time tonight briefly, I might even discuss why I think that part of the article is weak.
I'd be interested in that.
Yes. If you want to go into that for a few minutes, we certainly can. I would urge all of our listeners at RBN to get to nationalbugle.com to find this article. It's entitled How George Herbert Walker Bush's Gulf War Gave Us the American Anti-War Right, written by John Basil Utley, who was an old CIA hand. He is a libertarian. He's a fine gentleman, by the way. He was on my RBN radio show 10 or 12 years ago and discussing a lot of the things that were going on then that have just mushroomed since. If you go to my old markdankoff.com site, I still have a link to John Bassel Utley's page, which was known as Americans Against Bombing, Americans Against World Empire. It's now entitled Conservatives for Jim Antle says that George Herbert Walker Bush was a great statesman. Folks, when you look at the entire context that John Bassel Utley goes on to talk about and how that first Gulf War got started, I find it difficult to buy these statements of Noonan and Jim Antle. I respectfully acknowledge their right to make those statements if they truly believe that, but I think it's poppycock. I think George Herbert Bush was in up to his eyebrows in these lies from the beginning, and I think he will one day be fairly judged to be a war criminal.
Yeah, that's and, you know, when he was vice president and the Iran-Contra stuff had gone on, and then when he was running for president in the immediate wake of that, he was trying to maintain, on the one hand, the notion that he was out of the loop. He said he was out of the loop. But on the other hand, he was the very engaged vice president. He had the greatest resume ever, including director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So it does ring hollow when he or others claim that he didn't know about what was going on, especially when lots of people outside government knew about what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Utley underscores that he, John Bassel Utley, was a part of what he describes as a small and vastly outgunned conservatives and libertarians who put something together in those days entitled the Committee to Avert a Mideast Holocaust. Now, John Bassel Utley indicates that at least a million Arabs, Afghans, and Americans are dead from this unending chaos. Philip Giraldi puts the figure closer to 4 million, and it's the latter figure that I'm satisfied is more accurate, so that's another area just to mention tonight. But John Bassel Utley, whom I truly believe to be a very fine and great gentleman, mentions some of the other folks that were involved in this committee to avert a Mideast Holocaust. Henry Regnery, the famous publisher of conservative books, our old buddy Pat Buchanan, my old pal Joseph Sobran, and then some other names that will appeal to those of you who are not paleocons but have more of a libertarian emphasis, Ron Paul, mm-hmm. Lou Rockwell, Murray Rothbard, Bill Niskanen, who was the chairman of the Cato Institute, Sheldon Richmond, that's a name you may know, the Foundation for Economic Education, Justin Raimondo, who would go on to be one of the founders of antiwar.com, and Bert Blumert, who was funding a lot of the work of both Murray Rothbard and Justin Raimondo at that time. John Bassel Utley goes on to name several other names that I'm not as familiar with. Phil Nicolaides, the former deputy director at VOA during the Reagan era.
VOA being Voice of America.
Yeah, Voice of America. Chess champion radio named Phil Collier. I'm not that. I don't know Phil. Fran Griffin, very much involved as a strong Catholic and working with Joe Sobran. She was a founding member of the Young Americans for many, many years ago. And brought her company, Griffin Communications, into helping with the mailouts and the administration and so forth. And Utley goes on to underscore that in this pre-internet era, with virtually no money, this committee was able to work as hard as it could possibly work with all of the Kuwaiti money on the other side and with all the evangelical supporters of Israel on the other side. Yet, as he notes, the Senate vote in favor of this war was only 52-47. The bad guys won. The bad guys voted for war by a margin of only 5.
52-47. That was the resolution on the Gulf.
That's right.
And 52-47. And it wasn't a strict partisan vote. And Al Gore, in the year 2000, in his TV commercials, bragged about having voted primarily with the Republicans in favor of the Gulf War. Hardly the peace candidate, which is something that I, as a Nader supporter, had to bring up time and time again when people were attacking me and Ralph Nader for creating the Bush presidency. I said, hey, Gore ran a pro-war candidacy. Why do you think he wouldn't? Why wouldn't he be a pro-war president? But sorry to go off on a tangent.
No, that's important because I think this underscores that both well-meaning people on the Democratic left and the Republican right, who are not warmongers, have nonetheless been deceived. We tend to be very discerning when the candidate of the other party is doing all of these stupid things in the way of interventionism. We tend to be less discerning when it's a person of our own party in there. And frankly, I think the Republican Party, which had been slowly but surely co-opted by these neocons for a long period of time, was basically, in terms of its anti-war, Taft Buchanan wing of the party, was asleep at the switch when George Herbert Walker Bush first became president of the United States and this whole thing got going. Fascinatingly enough, Utley goes on to say that much about the Gulf War and especially its lies and subsequent brutality were not reported. Now listen to this. Bush himself may not have known all that took place in the military campaign. I don't buy that, folks. Mm-hmm. After all, says Utley, Dick Cheney, who we now know to be a liar, was his Secretary of Defense. But the deeds need to be remembered and indeed researched. Now, John Basil Utley goes on to underscore, using his term, odious. Particularly odious, he says, was the calculated destruction of Iraq's sanitation, irrigation, and electrical grid. And then he underlines this with a link, with the intent of causing mass civilian disease and starvation, as specified in a Defense Intelligence Agency report. It would have been interesting, John Basil Utley says here, to find out who ordered this policy. Was Bush out of the loop? I don't think so, folks, but it is what it is. John Basil Utley believes that. I think he's an honorable person. I also think he's misguided at that particular point in believing that George Herbert Walker Bush, like Dick Cheney, wasn't in on this from the beginning. Now, once all of this destruction took place of the sanitation, irrigation, and electrical grid, we then found out from Utley that reconstruction supplies were then blockaded over the following 9 years, including during the Clinton presidency. The consequent 500,000 deaths of children were deemed acceptable, as we all remember, by Clinton's former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, in the famous 60 Minutes interview with Leslie Stahl.
Yes, the cost is worth it. We think the cost is worth it.
Yeah, killing 500,000 kids, why not? Now, then into the lies that many of us had figured out, even with limited knowledge. I think you know, many of the things in the first Gulf War. Remember, that was largely pre-internet, folks, for most people.
It was pre-World Wide Web. The World Wide Web, where, you know, you'd go to a website, that would be, I guess, end of 93, beginning of 94, when you could start seeing that at, say, university libraries. But you already, by 1991, had services like CompuServe and AOL, where you could access newspapers digitally. And,
yes,
of course, if you were at a university library, or if you were the president of the United States, you certainly had access to maybe 2 or 3 day old newspapers from overseas.
Yes.
So it wasn't the technological stone age. It was the brink of the internet, and even though people didn't necessarily have the internet in their homes, the internet was, it was in the media. So, news wires and everything, that we weren't in the information dark ages. I remember when that war was breaking out, and I remember listening to shortwave radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top-valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander Lifetime Membership value that is 50 times your donation. and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
In Kuwaiti hospitals and dumping out babies and sending the incubators back to Iraq.
Yes, and we'll put this up at the end of the of our taping session tonight. The Christian Science Monitor has a 2002 article on this, September the 6th, 2002, by Tom Regan of the Christian Science Monitor. It's entitled, When Contemplating War, Beware of Babies in Incubators. We can thank John Basil Utley for providing a link to this article from the one that we already have posted. But folks will remember that this was reported on television that Kuwaiti government had to find a way to sell the war to the American public, who were interested but not deeply involved. So one of the auspices of a group called Citizens for a Free Kuwait, which was really the Kuwaiti government in exile, the group received almost $12 million from the Kuwaiti government and only $17,000 from others, according to author John R. MacArthur. The American PR firm Hill & Knowlton was hired for $10.7 million to devise a campaign to win American support for the war. Craig Fuller, the firm's president and COO, had been then President George Bush's chief of staff when the senior Bush had served as vice president under Ronald Reagan. And then, of course, as we read through the account, you will all remember how it was the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the U.S., unbeknownst to us at the time, who testified falsely under oath as to what she saw. And she said, quote, I saw the Iraqi soldiers come into the hospital with guns and go into the room where 15 babies were in incubators. They took the babies out of the incubators, took the incubators, and left the babies on the cold floor to die. Hill & Knowlton immediately faxed details of this false witness's speech to newsrooms across the country. And then, of course, this became the lead story for American newspapers, radio, and television. And as the Christian Science Monitor points out, there was no journalist present. None of the congressmen at the hearing bothered to find out who this young woman was. She was the daughter of Kuwait's ambassador to the United States, had seen none of the quote-unquote atrocities that took place. And this, again, is the sort of nonsense that led to this ill-fated American invasion of Kuwait and Iraq that ultimately has led to everything else that has happened in all the years since. Now, when you read through John Basil Utley's article, going back to that for a moment, he also underscores that there were, at the time, floating around all through the American media, that aerial photography showed 200,000 Iraqi soldiers waiting along the border to invade Saudi Arabia. Utley tells us that the Christian Science Monitor and the LA Times reported later how this was completely untrue and that such photographs never existed. The Defense Department, of course, claimed the photos were secret and never released them, even after the war. So as you read on, here's one I was not aware of.
We only have a minute left.
Oh, sure. The Conservative Political Action Committee meeting that year, the Kuwaiti paid for a dozen tables to be filled with students to cheer for war during the premier conservative gathering held every year in Washington, D.C. That's as far as we will take that tonight. But read this article, folks, How the Gulf War Gave Us the American Anti-War Right, and Pat Buchanan and Joe Sobran, Henry Regnery, John Basil Utley, Ron Paul, and many of these other fine people that we have mentioned tonight were all a part of this committee to avert a Mideast Holocaust that Philip Giraldi tells us didn't cause 1 million casualties. The figure is now thought to be 4 million and counting, with trillions of dollars and counting.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgment.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.